we're glad you're listening to Rhema for Today.
I'd operate on you free of charge if you wanted it. But if I operated on you, you know, you're a widow woman, you know, free of charge, and it didn't work, then somebody said, now see, those doctors just experimenting around on that poor old widow woman. It didn't work, and she'll never see you now. If you want the operation, well, he said, if you can raise $10,000, anybody knows if anybody's out $10,000 way back in the 20s, you know, well, they really wanted it, you know. But he said, I'm just going to be honest with you. You're a widow woman, and so on, and just tell you the truth about the matter. When it comes to nerves, he said, you can do more than anybody and anything that you can possibly take. If you want to take something, you never heard a doctor say this, but I'm going to tell you because you're a widow alone. He said, just get your little Nervine, take it.
Welcome to Rhema for Today. Kenneth E. Hagin continues his teaching, What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost, next on Rhema for Today Radio. Also, later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's special radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin for today's message.
But it reminded me of 1937, you know, when we as American government, after the dirigible, you know, from Germany came over in 1936, and we had some experimenting dirigibles, you know, lighter than air aircraft, and they had one up in Akron, Ohio that they was trying to moor to the mast, you know, tall steel tower, and they had about 200 soldiers, you know, going to hold these ropes, hold the thing down till they get it secured. And for some reason or another, suddenly that thing just shot right up in the air. And I saw a picture of it right on the front page of the Dallas Morning News. Some of these soldiers, you know, had presence of mind enough, and that thing shot and just turned loose of those ropes. Others didn't. And there's way up there in the air, and they couldn't hold on. Finally, their hands give out, and they fell and just plummeted to the ground and was killed instantly. A number of them were killed. I think there's 30-some-odd that were killed, and then a whole group more that was seriously injured, some of them critically. But this one old boy just kept holding on, it looked like. And finally, for about an hour and 45 minutes, they could see him up there dangling, just out of sight, looking like a little toy soldier, you know. So far out of sight, you know, people talking about how in the world that fella hold on like that. Well, he'll give out in a minute, you know. I mean, he's stronger than the rest of them. He held on longer than the rest of them. But you just can't hold on forever. And when he falls that far, man, there won't be anything left to him. Just a big splotch on the ground, you know. But after a while, some of them got back to where he was up there, and they pulled that rope up, you know, pulled him up into the gondola. They brought that thing back down, finally got it secured to that tower. And these folks were coming off. They had an ambulance backed up there for him because he's done a superhuman feat. He's held on for about an hour and 45 minutes. And they just know he's exhausted. And so he comes bounding down the steps, you know, and they lay him down on the stretcher and examine him, you know, and he said, nothing wrong with me, just feel fine. You see him hanging up there, women fainted and children cried, people passed out, you know, because they know he's going to die like the rest of them. And he said, well, they said, how in the world did you hold on so long? Well, he said, I didn't hold on. He said, when I saw, I was too far from the ground to let go. I had to hold this rope. I had about 4 feet here. I just held with one hand, and I took my other hand and threw that rope around me and tied it around me and said, I didn't hold it. It held me. See, while there's down there on the ground are yelling and crying and people are fainting and women, you know, passing out and children are crying. Well, he's up there enjoying the scenery, you know, just enjoying himself above all of it, see. The rest of them tried to hold on. They couldn't make it. You see, he didn't say be strong in yourself. He didn't say be strong in the power of your might. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, that fellow wasn't trusting himself to hold on. He is trusting the rope to hold him. Glory to God. And he just swinging free, enjoying himself. Amen. That's what he's talking about. Just wrap yourself in the promises of God and swing free and just enjoy yourself. Glory to God. You try to hold on, you'll give out after a while. When you do hit, you know, and that's reading a lot of folks, you know, they just pass out and fall out. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Now notice, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Well, there is a wily foe that's against us. He's writing to the church here. But thank God we can stand against him. I said we can stand against him. Now further on down here you'll notice. He said in that 13th verse, if you'll just notice the end of the 13th verse and the beginning of the 14th verse, he says about the same thing. Actually, Paul didn't write this letter in chapter and verses, you know that. Man divided it in chapter and verses, so it'd make it easier for us in reference. But he said here, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having done all to stand, somebody said, well, I've done all I know to do. What am I going to do? I've just stood. Well, he said, just keep on standing. Praise God. That's what you do. Having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore. Hallelujah. I remember when I was a little boy. You know, these things leave an impression on your mind when you're small. My daddy left when I was about 16 years of age, and our home was, or 6 years of age, and our home was broken up. And my mother, because of all the problems that she had with him and so on, had a complete nervous, physical, and mental breakdown. And, you know, she just didn't know what she's doing at the time. We lived with our grandmother on her mother's side of the family, you know, and of course, in those days, we didn't have dryers, you know, you just had to hang your clothes out on the line. And if Granny went out to hang out the clothes, you see, well, she'd have me, a little six-year-old. I didn't start school in my day till we were 7 years old, see. And watch Mama, because, see, if you had to watch her. She'd want to kill herself. And you'd have to watch her, you see, that she didn't get a hold of a knife or something, you see. Well, that'll make an impression on a little child, you see, when you have to watch somebody, you know. And she'd have terrible spells, just complete nervous, mental, and physical breakdown. Now, I might take a little side journey here, if it'd be all right with you. Sometimes people get as much, you know, from the side journeys as they do the main journey. Get as much from it, you see. Well, you see, now, Mama was actually a Christian, all right, but just a baby Christian. She knew Christ as her Savior. She didn't know how to stand and so on. And somebody said, well, now, what if she had killed herself? You know, a lot of times people ask these questions. Would she have been saved? Well, you know, you can be sick in your head just as much as you can in your stomach, except when you're sick in your head, you don't know exactly what you're doing. Would a fellow be saved and go to heaven just because he's sick in his stomach, or would he go to hell just because he's sick in his stomach? Well, a person wouldn't go to hell just because he's sick in their head. Or it wouldn't keep him from going to heaven. Are you following me? Because, you see, people can be sick in the head and do things and not know what they're doing. Because I know years later, you see, after Mama recovered, you know, and lived to be 80 years old before she went home to be with the Lord. And I remember after I was in the ministry, I approached the subject and began to talk to Mama about those things, you know. And I talked, said something about, you know, had to watch her, you know. My son said, don't you ever say a thing like that. You know, I'm a Christian. I wouldn't have done anything like that. I wouldn't take my own life. She had no knowledge of it, whatever. Are you following me? No knowledge of it, whatever, so I never did mention it again, see. But I can remember all the problems we had here, which were multitude of problems. And so finally she was sent down to Dallas to the Baylor Hospital. We were Baptist people, you see. Baylor Hospital's a Baptist. And I remember Dr. Carey, and he lived to be about 93, just in the last 10 years or so, went home to be with the Lord. But in those days, back in the 20s, he was the leading nerve specialist in the southwest part of the United States. And so after examination, because of all this nervous breakdown and mental problems and all these problems, you see, Mama became blind. She couldn't see. And all examinations, see, her eyes looked just perfect as your eyes do, or mine. But they said what happened was the nerve of the eye wasn't strong enough for the light. The shock to the nerve of the eye, you see, caused it to go in shock and it never did recover. And it wasn't strong enough for the light, so she couldn't see. Now, Dr. Carey said there is one operation that you could perform in those days, but there's only a 50-50 chance that it'll work. Only a 50-50 chance that you'd see and operate. And if you didn't see, if the operation wasn't successful, then there's no chance of you ever seeing again. That's it. You've had it. But now there is a 70-80% chance that you'll see again. For instance, when you, he said when you go through the change of life. there's a 70-80% chance. Now, I'd operate on you free of charge if you wanted it. But if I operated on you, you know, you're a widow woman, you know, free of charge, and it didn't work, then somebody said, now see, those doctors just experimenting around on that poor old widow woman. It didn't work, and she'll never see you now. If you want the operation, well, you said if you could raise $10,000, anybody knows if anybody's out $10,000 way back in the 20s, you know, when they really wanted it, you know. But he said, I'm just going to be honest with you. You're a widow woman and so on, and just tell you the truth about the matter. When it comes to nerves, he said, you can do more than anybody and anything that you can possibly take. If you want to take something, you never heard a doctor say this, but I'm going to tell you because you're a widow alone. He said, just get your little nerve and take it. That'll do as good as anything. And then he put her on the right kind of a diet. But he said, the main thing is this. Talk to yourself. The Bible said, here's the doctor said, the Bible said in Ephesians 6:13-14, having done all to stand, stand. And when you feel these attacks coming on, because see, she'd go into a preliminary attack of depression. She'd get to thinking about everything that had happened to her in life. You see, her mother and daddy didn't want her to marry my daddy. And my daddy came from a good family and a wealthy family. His daddy was a millionaire. But the reason they didn't want to marry wasn't because it wasn't a good family and a wealthy family, an aristocrat family, but he was an only boy, only son. And he's got everything he wanted. He's by his mama and by his sisters. He's always just everything he wanted, he got.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, Craig Hagin, Lynette Hagin, and Denise Hagin Burns by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's offer. First, we're offering Pastor Kenneth Hagin's book, The Untapped Power of Praise. Also, the USB drive, Healing, Peace, and Success by Kenneth E. Hagin and Lynette Hagin. Next in this radio offer is Craig Hagin's CD, What Do You Have on the Inside? Finally, we have Denise Hagin Burns' CD, Living a God-Conscious Life. All these items for the special price of only $45. To order, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. That's 1-888-324-8499. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so email us today at partnerservice@rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Well, we start Living Faith conferences in January.
Yes,
January the 18th through the 20th, we're going to be in Daytona Beach, Florida at a Relevant Church, Pastors Chris and Liz Sarno.
Yes,
and
yes.
And then we're going where, honey?
We're going up to Panama City, Florida, January 21 right. through 23 at Cornerstone Family Church with Pastors Greg and Alicia Aldridge.
That's right.
So if you want to know any of our traveling schedule, just go to rhema.org/LFC and you'll find out about it.
Call 1-888-FAITH-99. That's toll free, 1-888-FAITH-99. Tomorrow, Kenneth E. Hagin will continue his message, What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.